This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
It was bound to happen. The 10-game winning streak comes to an end in Boston on Sunday, but more importantly, what happened out in San Diego put the Yankees in the playoffs. It is Savages in the Box for this Monday, September the 21st. And after going 5-15 over a stretch of 20 games, the Yankees found their groove, so to speak, and they are now in the postseason. Because of their loss in Boston, they had to wait until later on in the afternoon for the end of the Padres-Mariners game. But by virtue of the Mariners' loss in extra innings against San Diego, the Yankees are now in the postseason for 2020. They currently sit in the number five spot. They are battling it out back and forth with the Minnesota Twins. The Twins and the Yankees are even in the loss column. The Twins have one more win than the Yankees do at the moment. Lots to unpack here from the weekend. First of all, a great win on Friday night, come from behind. Gary Sanchez, a big part of that. A domination on Saturday. Jay Happ with eight scoreless innings. That is not a phrase I think any of us expected to say or hear this season. But it happened, and the Yankees absolutely bombed the Red Sox 8-0. And then, of course, the 10-2 loss on Sunday. Let's talk about that a little bit. David Garcia had his first clunker. Three innings, eight hits, six runs, six earned. Walked one, struck out two. Left a couple of hanging breaking pitches up to Michael Chavis, who clobbered them over the left field wall. And I was a little bit surprised because this being his fifth career start and how much we have seen from Garcia over these first four starts and how impressive he has been, frankly, I felt like in reading a lot of the articles after the game on Sunday that there were a lot of people that were expressing genuine concern over his ability to start a game in the postseason. Whether or not it would be a game three season on the line in round one is one thing, but I don't think anybody would hesitate to have him start in the postseason right now. And look, he may be green, he may be 21 years old, but he's a guy that is composed. And I'm not really concerned about him. If I saw one more start that maybe wasn't particularly sharp, maybe I would start to have a little genuine concern, but I honestly don't. And with that being the case, frankly, right now, I'd still be fine with him starting a game three. If the season was on the line, I trust in his ability to be able to get the job done. But we'll have more on that in just a bit. The other thing that would, I don't know if you want to say raise a red flag, but you want to pay attention to, is the fact that his velocity was down 2 to 3 miles per hour pretty consistently on Sunday. So the first thing you think of whenever you see that with a pitcher is you want to make sure that he's okay. Hopefully that's the case, and on Monday you don't get any bad news later in the afternoon. I don't think it's any real big deal for just one start, but it certainly bears watching when he was a guy that was consistently around 93 and on Sunday was pitching at about 90 miles per hour. Which brings us to Jay Happ. And when I talked about Garcia a moment ago starting a postseason game and even potentially starting game three, I honestly would be good with that. But I'm going to say something that is going to annoy you because you don't feel good about this scenario, even though you probably should. Jay Happ has earned the right to start a game three in the postseason, even if it is in the first round. And I know that's a do-or-die game, and you're thinking to yourself, what are you, nuts? Well, let's talk about a few things here. Number one, this has not just been one or two starts for Happ. He has been pitching pissed off. Let's call it what it is. He's annoyed with the organization because he thinks that they have kind of gone out of their way, at least were earlier in the year, to try to have him not reach that vesting option. Well, the solution was simply for Happ to go out and pitch great. And that's what he's done. So six starts now, His ERA, 1.93 during that stretch. 37 and a third innings, 36 strikeouts, 27 hits, 5 walks. That's a whip of 0.86. He's given up 8 runs in those 37 and a third, and 4 of those came in that 5-inning start against the Mets. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I honestly have a good deal of confidence in Jay Happ's ability right now. If the season was on the line, would I be okay with him pitching? Right now, yeah, I would be. And that doesn't mean that I would let him go out there and give up 4 runs in the first 2 innings and let him think that maybe he's going to get it back. Of course, it would be a relatively short leash. It's an elimination game. All hands are on deck, and I'd have Garcia ready to go. I don't think Boone can make a bad decision there, but it will be very interesting to watch how that plays out over the next week and a half. And I think specifically with the last regular season starts of both Happ and Garcia this week before the playoffs start. Keep an eye on that. On Sunday, both Aaron Judge and Gio Urshela were out of the lineup. They were planned to be off on Sunday, so I'm not going to make any big deal of it. They played on Saturday. Urshela is still dealing with a little bit of issue with the elbow. Saw Judge run into the wall the other night. Boone said everything checked out, so everything's fine, but it's like anything. When it comes to Aaron Judge right now, you're just going to be walking on eggshells with every possible misstep, every possible ankle roll, every incident of running into a wall. It's just going to be the case. Okay, it's clear. We owe Gary Sanchez some love. Now, he did go 0-for-3 on Sunday, but before that, he had obviously been rolling. Friday night was just fantastic to see for him. He had the double, obviously the 2-run double in the 7th inning, and then later on, with 2 out in the 9th, a solo shot and an absolute missile to tie the game and send it to extra innings. I think you're happy for Sanchez in that he seems to have snapped out of it a little bit. But let's be clear about one thing with Sanchez here. For the rest of this season, Gary Sanchez does not have to be the Gary Sanchez that the Yankees expect him to be, the star player. He doesn't have to be the superstar player that the fans expect him to be. All he has to be is average. Signed for average right now with Sanchez. Since he's started to go pretty good, he's 8 for his last 30. You know what that is? 267. His OPS in the course of the last week plus has gone up over 100 points. Now, there was nowhere to go for it but up, but it still has. All he has to do is just catch a good game, call a good game, and be in a situation where he's not killing them at the plate. If Sanchez is not absolutely destroying them and 0 for his first 12 in the playoffs, he's going to be fine. And that, as a Yankee fan, it should be what you should sign for right now. Just be average moving forward. That's all you can ask for. If he gives you more, take it and run. But if that's where he is right now, I think that's more than enough considering everything else that you have to work with at the moment. There's no need for there to be so much more pressure on Sanchez at this point. All right, one other note from the weekend. Aaron Boone is pushing back Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka to pitch on Tuesday and Wednesday in Buffalo this week. Gives them an extra day's rest before these starts, and then sets them up for games 1 and 2 of the playoffs with an extra day's rest. Love the idea. So that would mean likely Michael King will start the game later on today. If he doesn't start it, he's certainly going to give them a bulk of innings. Right now, this week is going to be about two things. It's going to be about being healthy going into the postseason, being in a good groove heading into the postseason in terms of your hitters, in terms of Judge and Stanton and the guys that have missed time, being really locked in by the time it rolls around. and being rested and ready to go. And also trying to make that four spot, but not at all costs. If you're playing the Minnesota Twins, given the history of the Yankees and the Twins, I do think you'll be just fine, whether it's in Minnesota or in New York. And the primary reason is if you don't believe that there is carryover or a mentality regarding the Twins and the Yankees in the playoffs, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. There is. The Twins will hear all about it, as they have the last couple of times they've met up in the postseason. And I have no doubt, again, that the Yankees would take care of business against the Twins, because Minnesota would go into that series with absolutely zero confidence. I know that sounds a little bit nuts, but when you have the history and the recent history that these two teams do in the playoffs, and it's been all Yankees in those six series, then you have absolutely no reason to have any confidence going in, frankly. It feels like when you throw out the Yankee pinstripes onto the field, the Twins are going to fold up. Okay, if you are just still letting yourself think about winning the division, they're 3.5 back right now, 3 in the loss column. The Rays have 3 with the Mets and then 3 with Philadelphia, while the Yankees have these 4 against Toronto and 3 against Miami. By the way, as far as the Twins are concerned, they've got 2 against Detroit and 3 against Cincinnati as the regular season comes to an end. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. This is Carlin. I am out. We'll see you Tuesday morning with, the next one. I guess.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.